That changed my life. Have you heard of raw food co-ops? And she was like, what? And I'm like, yes, it's this magical place where all these people order stuff together in bulk at wholesale prices. And she's like, what? And I'm like, apparently they're all around the country. I was kicked out of so many raw feeding groups that it became a joke. It was a crazy time. And I get messages probably on a weekly basis from people who got kicked out of a group or who, you know, asked a question and they got jumped all over.
You have to have an area for total open discussion where you're gonna have opposing viewpoints. You're gonna have people that disagree. But like you said, those different perspectives are how we learn and shift our own thinking.
No judgment. I don't care what choice you make. I'm just gonna share what I know.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for being on. Welcome, of course. This is probably going to be the first of many episodes, but we really appreciate you taking the time to kind of talk with us and our audience today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So before we get started, can you kind of just give our audience a brief introduction into who you are and what you do in the world of pets?
Sure. My name is Kimberly Gauthier. I write the blog Keep the Tail Wagging, and I'm at Raw Feeder Life on social media. And I basically create content that's inspired by my dogs about raw feeding and raising dogs naturally.
And so how did you get into this? You know, for a lot of the people that we talk to, it's like maybe a specific dog where you went through the whole journey. What really got you into the more integrative, holistic world?
Trying to prove a veterinarian wrong.
Whoa, say more about that.
Well, my dog Rodrigo, who I recently lost in September, right before he was 3 years old, he had like just a history of allergies, ear infections, you know, rashes on his skin, digestive issues. And I was constantly in and out of the vet. And finally, the vet just says, you know, it's really sad because he's probably not going to make it long last his third birthday. And he said it so casually.
Wow.
And I was just like, yeah, no. And I was already blogging because I was obsessed with my dogs. And so I started a blog where I just wrote silly content about how much I love my dogs. And I had heard about raw feeding and wondered if that could help. So I began to dive deep into raw feeding. That's how I actually met Dr. Judy Morgan, Dr. Kathy Alanovi, how I came across Dr. Karen Becker, and eventually met Rodney Habib, and just incorporating everything that I was learning into my dog's life. And he passed away at 13 and a half.
Wow.
So I figure, you know, the fact that he lived 10 and a half years longer than what a veterinarian predicted is just testament to not only feeding fresh food, but also the raw feeding community that came together to share what they knew with other people.
It sounds like it's also a testament to the fact that veterinarians are experts and they know so many wonderful things, but there's a huge level of what the pet parent knows about their individual dog that goes into this. Would you say that's true in your case?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of people lack the confidence in realizing that they truly are an expert in their dogs. I mean, when you look at raw feeding groups or any type of thing on social media around our pets, and people easily become intimidated. And one thing that I've always have running through my mind is that none of these people know my dog, not one, but I do. I live with my dog all day, every day. I know every slight change. I know every facial expression. I know every bark, you know, so I'm the expert in my dogs. And so it didn't sound right when this veterinarian is like, so you're telling me my dog's going to die because he has ear infections? It didn't sound right. And he didn't really elaborate, nor did he allow an environment in which you could ask him questions. So I basically went behind his back and, yeah. And started doing my own homework and my own research. It's funny because today I look back and I have zero animosity towards him or any veterinarian that is just doesn't have the knowledge or doesn't want to dive into anything other than what they learned in school or whatever is traditional in their world. It's a tough situation to be in. I have no doubt that he loved animals. It's just that he truly believed that. And there are so many things that I truly believe. Like, I truly believe that fresh food saved my dog's life. There's no one on this planet that'll be able to convince me otherwise. In that situation, it wasn't up to me to fight with him or change his mind or vice versa. It was basically that conversation was my hint that it was time for me to move on. And
Yeah,
I'm glad I
wow.
did.
Yeah, I can imagine so. That's incredible. So tell us about the start of your blog. I'm curious, like, I know the inspiration came from your experiences with your dogs, but why turn that into a blog?
Because it was so hard. It was, I mean, I already had Keep the Tail Wagging, but I changed the focus in 2014 because that first year, so I switched to raw feeding in 2013. That first year was so hard. I started with commercial raw. It was expensive. I had three dogs at the time. And eventually, like less than a year later, we had lost a dog to an accident and we got two more. So then we had four dogs.
Oh my goodness.
And my largest bill was about 800 and something dollars trying to feed four dogs a commercial raw diet. And two of the dogs were growing puppies, so they're eating way more than our adult dogs. And I was like, I have to go back to kibble because I can't afford this. But I knew that kibble was not good for Rodrigo. And so I started Googling, looking for people in the area that were raw feeders, trying to figure out what I could do, and came across a woman who she tried to offer a workshop, but there was no interest. And so I asked her if I can buy her coffee. And it was funny because during that conversation, she says to me, "Well, aren't you a member of the Raw Food Co-op?" And I'm like, "What, what?" And that changed my life. And during that first year, I met one of my very best friends, Tina. She's in Florida. And so we were on this journey together. We had dogs that had similar health issues, but not quite the same. And so we were texting and calling each other on a weekly basis, just learning about raw feeding together. And I mean, that's just the beauty of social media
Yes.
that can happen.
Yes.
And she's still like my very dear, dear friend today. But I called her up after that and was just like, "Have you heard of raw food co-ops?" And she was like, "What?" And I'm like, "Yes, it's this magical place where all these people order stuff together in bulk at wholesale prices." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Apparently they're all around the country." So I went home, joined the raw food co-op, created a page because I started looking for raw food co-ops in the area. She found one in her area. I mean, it was life-changing. But the point of that is that it's not easy to learn about raw feeding, even though today it's all around me. It's what I do. But when you're brand new into this concept and you don't know any veterinarians that support this, and maybe the ones that do, holistic veterinarians are more expensive than traditional veterinarians. And the people around you are probably thinking you're crazy. My partner was like, "You're gonna what with the dogs?" I mean, so, and my mom was like, "But that's going to make them go feral. So I don't think that that's a good idea."
Yeah.
And I even got like, because when I was exploring it on my blog, I would get comments from people saying, "You're obviously a dog fighter," because the only person who would feed raw meat are people who are trying to make their dogs aggressive. So, I mean,
I had no idea how widespread that misconception was. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, and you
Yeah.
think about it today, where raw feeding is so mainstream that it's hard to believe that that is the world that we were in. When you
Totally.
join groups, you would join groups, and at the like top, they have the rules. I mean, the groups are formatted differently now, but back then it would be like a pin post at the top, and they would have like a list of people you weren't able to mention. Dr. Becker was always on that list, always.
Oh my
But,
gosh.
and then when Rodney Habib, when he started blowing up, he was added to that list. Dogs Naturally Magazine, you weren't allowed to mention that
Wow.
website. You weren't in some groups, you weren't allowed to mention green tripe or vegetables or, the raw goat's milk. There is I was kicked out of so many raw feeding groups that it became a joke. Like I just got kicked out of it. I mean, I was on a trip. I was on a flight where I'm talking to my girlfriend Tina, texting her before I got on the flight. Get on the flight, fly across the country, get off the flight. My phone's blowing up because Tina's like, "So did you leave the group or did you get kicked out again?" And I on a flight, I got kicked out. Why? Because I asked, like, well, when it comes to vegetables, I know some people feed them for fiber and some people feed them for nutrients. It's like, which is correct? Because I at the time, even though I had been writing about raw feeding, I was still learn I'm still learning today,
Yeah,
but I wanted to
absolutely.
learn. And I believe that you learn the most from people who do things drastically different from you because it just expands your knowledge even more. But some of those people are like, I don't have time to educate you, you crazy person. Stop feeding, wolves don't eat vegetables. And I'm like, but really, are you sure?
Yeah, is
Are
that
you
actually true?
really? It was a crazy time. And today I still come, I meet people on, I get messages probably on a weekly basis from people who got kicked out of a group or who, asked a question and they got jumped all over and they just want to learn. And so
Yeah.
that was kind of like the platform for Keep the Tail Wagging. It was just a place where no judgment. I don't care what choice you make. I'm just going to share what I know.
Yep.
And you don't have to agree with me. You can ask me questions. You can say I'm crazy. I'm okay with that. I'm here. I'm still learning too. It's not about me being like, yes, everyone, follow me.
Right.
I'm the guru of raw feeding. No, it's just like this is what I'm doing right now with this set of dogs. I mean, what I'm doing today, like how I fed my dogs today, is drastically different than how I fed my dogs 2 months ago. And the reason why is because I had four dogs and one of my dogs had a health condition. So the way I fed my dogs was basically centered around him. And so we're constantly evolving. And I just wanted to create a safer place where people could just chill and take their time and learn and take what they like and discard what they don't.
Totally. So, two things on that. Number one, I absolutely love that about your platform. I think the fact that we've been talking a lot about this lately and even shifting our own content, there's too much, you should do this, you should do that, this is the right way. Instead, let's say, hey, I tried this, it seemed to work for my dogs. It might be an option for yours. But it's not like we have one universal truth to share with everybody. Everybody has their own truth. And the second thing is, I think that you're exactly right in creating the platform that you did. You have to have an area for total open discussion where you're gonna have opposing viewpoints. You're gonna have people that disagree. But like you said, those different perspectives are how we learn and shift our own thinking. So I really commend you for that because I think that that doesn't exist very much in this world right now.
No, and I think it's because, social media has given us all a platform. On one hand, it's beautiful. Because, my circle of friends here locally where I am are all dog people. I mean, I'm so blessed. But I also have amazing friends around the country and in other parts of the world who I've, connected with. And I would never have known these people were it not for social media. And so I'm grateful for that. But on the flip side, social media has allowed people to, like there's no shame, and I think this is harsh, but one of my favorite things that Mike Tyson said, and probably in the past few years, is that people have gotten entirely too comfortable saying whatever they want to say and not getting punched in the face. And that's how I feel like social media has eliminated empathy, where we don't really think about what we just get riled up and then we fire off a response and then we bounce. And we don't think about like the absolute devastation we may have left. And so that's another thing is as my platform has grown, I want to be very, very careful of how I engage with people. And it's so hard because, I have one of my followers, her name is Tina as well. And I love her to death because she's always like, D who cares what those people say, Kimberly? Ignore them, screw them. And she's right. But if I'm trying to help dogs, I can't really block away everybody. I
Yeah,
need to
that's
be
hard.
able to straddle the line of, can I tolerate your aggression? And when do I have to say, okay, it's time for me now to set a boundary? And it's very hard because, as I mean, I'm sure as you guys know, as content creators, we're out here and we're putting everything out here. And the bigger you get, the more eyes that are on you, the more open you're going to be to criticism.
Yeah.
And because we have no tone of voice, no body language, no facial expressions, many of the time, things can come across very harshly. And I have done a really great job of learning to take very deep breaths, sometimes to take a beat, like I will respond to this comment tomorrow.
Right.
And then understanding when not to allow one person to distract from everyone's opportunity to contribute and learn and share.
Yeah. I've had a lot of kind of rude awakenings lately, and one of the biggest ones was I had one of our followers. So we have like one video that we've done in the past that has like 300,000 comments on it. And so we have kind of taken the stance like we can't really help everybody, so how do we choose one
Oh, that's
person
just
to
so you're like,
help?
I can't hear you anymore.
Yes.
300,000.
300,000, and it's like at what point would you ever be able to sift through all of those? And
No.
so we've kind of just taken a step back from answering these, and we're working on creating a team that can help us do this. I found myself engaging in a lot of the negative comments because I'll look through and like I'll see questions and stuff, and I'm like, I have 5 minutes to look through these comments. I can't answer these questions. But then one of them will hit a nerve, and that's the one I'll reply to. And somebody commented and they were like, "Why do you only reply to the negative comments but not the people asking questions?"
Mic drop.
And I was like,
Boom.
wow. I was like, that's a hard realization, but this is what we want. We want people that are like,
Yes.
hey, this is what we need from you or what we want from you.
Exactly. I a few months ago, actually, yeah, not long ago, I asked, I had kind of like a disagreement with someone on social media. And I was confused by their response, and I, if that it is what it is, I just walked away from it. But I thought, I don't understand. I'm going to ask my followers for some feedback. It's like, what do you guys need from me? What are you, give me some feedback. This is your chance. And I was going to give them 48 hours to just lay it out there. And you expect everyone to go, no, you're doing a great job. Good job, Kimberly. It's like, thank you. But that's not really feedback, but I do appreciate it because I know that the feedback is coming and I'm going to need these softball comments to help me get
Yeah.
through. But one person, and I wish I would have took a screenshot of this person's response so that I can remember her name because it was the comment that changed everything for me. And this was in August, I think. And basically what she said is similar to what you is like you spend so much time explaining yourself and trying to clarify things with people who are not interested in having a conversation. They just want to argue. And I wish that you would not. And she even said, she's like, I'm a content creator too, so I totally understand why you do it and the desire to want to do that, but it's wasting your time and it's taking away from, the what you're putting out there. And so I asked her to give me some examples, and she gave me beautiful examples of, a review that I did, and there were I reviewed a training collar, and I wanted to show that what if you took the I don't know what they're called, but the things that cause the static, if you took those pointers out and just made it a noise collar, would it still work? And but I got so many dog trainers coming to my page going, what? And I ended up creating tons of content explaining myself to these people who had no desire to hear anything that I had to say, rather than just focusing on the collar and what I was doing. And
Wow.
after that, I just started ignoring people.
Yep.
And what's funny is that I feel like her feedback was the last piece to my thick skin uniform that I needed, because after that, I just stopped caring. And, now when people disagree with me, I mean, I'm still more than happy to have a discussion, but when it's so it's when it's clear that they're not interested in having a discussion, I just remove them from my community because I really want to be able to talk about the tough topics that I feel like sometimes we're not allowed to talk about. A great example is recently the Bobby dog that's 31 years old, and the fact that there are people who don't believe that the dog is 31 years old. Let's talk about it. And it's like, it's not about who, if someone's lying, if someone's not lying. It's about, well, why do you think this dog is 31 years old? What's the evidence that convinced you? And then why don't you believe? What's the evidence that convinced you that this dog isn't 31 years old? And to me, it can still be a very valid and informative conversation that isn't attacking anyone, that isn't hurting anyone's feelings. And having that conversation, I'm like in talks to a veterinarian in Portugal now who's going to explain to me what life is like in Portugal. And what I love is that she's an integrative veterinarian, so we could really have these conversations. She understands my desire to want to know things beyond, oh, he loved to eat vegetables. It's like, yeah, that's great, but what vegetables and how often and when, and did he do fasting? And I want to know all of these things, and she's excited to share it with me. And she's like, yes, because we need to be having this conversation. And it's like, this is why we have to stop eating at each other, because when we actually slow down and have a conversation, someone in the conversation goes, Kimberly, you should talk to this veterinarian in Portugal. She speaks English too, and she'll be able to help you. Here's her information. She does respond to people. Contact her on Instagram. If I mean,
It would have never happened. It would have
yeah.
never happened without it.
It was like, so it's like, don't be afraid to of having these harsh conversations, but just understand how to ignore the people who are just being angry and focus on the people who also are interested in the conversation.
Yeah, that one of the hardest lessons we've been learning lately is being okay being misunderstood and just understanding, like you said. No matter what you say, those people aren't going to agree with you. They're not going to change their mind on that opinion. And honestly, even if you switched over to promoting kibble and all the conventional stuff, half the people would still disagree with you. It's like
Oh,
no
yeah.
matter what you share, you're going to get people that don't agree, and that's just got to be okay at that some point, but it's hard to tell your nervous system that.
So, Kimberly, how have you navigated your blog turning from a hobby into a small business? And what were some of the things that you have had to kind of work through with that transition?
Once I started earning an income, and I understood that, well, actually, it was partly earning an income and partly having people threaten to sue me that made me want to really make this serious. And so
Whoa.
I was worried about someone taking my home from me because they wanted to sue me. And the thing about it is, I've never done anything that warranted a lawsuit, but anyone can file a lawsuit against you. And if you don't have the funds to back it up, and if you're dealing with someone who may have a whole lot of funds, then it's probably a good idea to protect yourself. And years ago, there was a blogger in Oregon that used stock photography without paying for it. And she put it all over her website. And so I don't remember which company it was, so I won't say who it was. I think I remember, but anyway, they sued her. They sued her in under the jail. I mean, they sued the hell out of her. And it was one of those where the entire pet blogging world, we were talking about it, and we were just like, how many of us have stolen images off of Google? And it's like, what? Thankfully, I wasn't doing that at that time, but it still was a reminder that we have influence. We have to be careful about what we say. I mean, even now, I mean, I can say that I don't like something and it will turn into and a complete where it's just like, no, I didn't say it's bad. I'm just saying it didn't work for me. And but people will get so angry. And I have had people, I congratulated, I posted something on Instagram congratulating Billy on moving to his next stage of his career. And I was harassed for 3 days by a pet store owner in Southern California to the point where I had to send him a no contact order.
This is Billy Hookman we're talking about?
Yeah. And
What?
yeah, because I congratulated Billy Hookman.
Oh
This
my
random
God.
pet store owner felt that by me congratulating Billy Hookman, I was somehow harming sales at his store. And it
For
was just
God's sake.
like, and so, and I've had people threaten to sue me for just the most random things. And so that was one of the things where I thought it was really important to just protect myself. So I turned Keep to Tail Wagging until an LLC. I had my blog name trademarked. I have an attorney, I have a CPA, and I take it very seriously. I mean, I'm not trying to turn it into a full-time business. It's not something that I want to do right now. I really like being an accountant, and I don't want to stop being an accountant. I thought it was really important to make my blog as bulletproof as I could, simply because it really doesn't matter if someone has a case against you. If someone has the resources, they can really make your life miserable.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that we started thinking about probably a year and a half ago now was like online business security. And so essentially in September, was that 2 years ago now? 2021. So September 2021, we weren't like doing this social media thing full time. We had kind of a side business that we were doing that eventually turned into this. But we had an Instagram account and had about 30,000 followers at the time. And I got an email that said we had been verified on TikTok, and immediately I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, I gotta see what this is about. So I go in, you click the link, it says log in to TikTok. I put in my information, and I don't exactly know how it happened, but somehow they hacked our Instagram through that information, and they stole it, kicked us out, and messaged us and said, we'll give it back to you for $1,000 if you like pay us this ransom. And we had long conversations about it, but we were like, there's probably no chance we're going to get this account back even if we do pay this money. So we're just going to like start a new account, which we ended up doing. But at that moment, I was like, this is a totally new business that not a lot of people know about or know how to securely do it. I mean, you have a brick and mortar store, you lock the door at the end of the night, you get a security system. Beyond that, you can't really do much else. But like, we don't even know how to protect some of like our website and our social media account. We just hope that the platforms that we sign up for this stuff with secure them enough themselves. And obviously that one was our fault, but like it's a weird thing to think about, this kind of business security side of it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I used to do like my website, I used to do the hosting that was, $1.99 a month type of hosting. I'm grateful for those experiences because it taught me how to take care of my own website and build my own websites. I can build a website. I'm not excellent at it. I can't do it as quickly as a professional web developer, but I can do it. And I'm very proud of my website. But a few years ago, I got tired of dealing with my website and worrying about security and things like that. And so I luckily live in an area that has a lot of tech people. And so I reached out to see, is there anyone out there that manages websites? And I specifically wanted women because I feel that women speak in a way that is very unique. And so someone recommended a couple to me, and I went to their house in Seattle, and we basically interviewed each other, loved each other, and they've been taking care of my website ever since.
Wow.
That's
The
amazing.
but the side of that that people don't realize is I went from paying, basically probably by then I was probably paying like, $5 a month or something, to, just wow, what my bill is. But I don't have to worry about anything. And if
Yeah,
anything
that's the
does go
thing.
wrong, I send a text message off to my gal and she's just like, yeah, I got it. I'll take care of it. And I just go about my life and I don't worry about it. And it is like the level of comfort by not having to worry is so nice.
Yeah.
It's just so nice.
Yep, and that's a testament to hiring people that are smarter than you in the industries you're
Yes.
trying to hire them. We just hired a content creator, and I would argue he's better than me, and that's why we hired him,
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah, it's funny.
So, on one of your recent podcasts, you talked about intuition with your pets. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that goes to what I said about us being an expert in our pets. And I think that it's interesting because we live with them, we know them, we know when something isn't right. I think that sometimes we'll, oh, well, this is crazy. I'm just going to ignore this. But I began just really thinking about, when I look at my dogs and if I feel like something's wrong, then I pay attention. And, a lot of times it's nothing, but sometimes it's something. With Rodrigo, before he passed, I couldn't explain it, but something was different. And I knew I was losing him. But I didn't know when it would be, but I knew I was losing him. And
That's hard.
it's funny because although I miss him every day, it was probably the easiest dog to lose
Really?
because there was some type of connection between the two of us. And he was acting so differently. He's always, all of my dogs are very clingy, but suddenly he was laying on the bed with me, which he never did because he's a very hot dog. And so he would get too hot, but he was coming and sleeping with me at night. And it was sort of like he was trying to soak up as much time because his time was going. Sydney, his sister, she passed in 2020. I spent all summer taking her to the vet because something was wrong. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but something was wrong. And that was the year that I lost her to hemangiosarcoma. And same thing with Scout. Scout was, he had lymphoma and he was great for a year and a half. But then at some point, even though he was still playing, he was still active, he was still running around, I knew when it was time. And it's just, so it's like we know these things, but we just don't listen to them. And after Sydney and after Scout, I really started listening to my dogs and paying attention. And people say, it's like when you look at your dogs and how they engage with each other, they're not talking, but somehow they're communicating with each other. I mean, my favorite test is to quietly take a treat and try to give it to a dog in another room, and a treat that's soft where no one's going to hear a crunch or anything. But before you know it, you hear the steps of the other dogs running because I swear they're broadcasting, she's giving treats. So I figured our dogs are communicating with us. We just need to listen. And it's still a hard concept, but it's, body language, it's, facial expressions, ch slight changes in behaviors, just all of that, all of those things are things that they're communicating to us. Even if it's something like one time Scout smelled his food, took two steps back and sat down and wouldn't eat it. And it was chicken. He would not eat chicken. And, an understanding or looking at your dogs and paying attention to what order do they eat their food in. And so what do they like best? What is, what are they really into? There are some days where they love rabbit heads. And there are some days where, like one of my dogs is like, yeah, that's not going to do it for me. And actually listening and having an alternative. I mean, and I'm not talking about, a picky dog. I'm just talking about kind of having a collaborative experience with our dogs.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was reading the other day, and it might come back to me, but it was something about the vitamin D scandal, 2018, I think it was.
No, it was a podcast, I
Was
think, or
it?
we were talking to somebody.
I can't remember what it was, but there was some story about this person who had this incredible service dog, and I don't remember their story.
I know exactly
You know this,
what you're
right?
talking about. Where did I hear this at? I heard it recently.
I cannot remember
She was
it.
talking about how her dog, and she, there were changes in her dog, and her dog wouldn't eat the food.
Yes.
And
yes.
She kept feeding the dog the food, and eventually the dog would get hungry and eat the food.
Yes.
And yes, I don't
know.
What is
this mystery story?
I don't know. What did we all see recently?
It's in the past couple weeks, and I don't know where it was.
Was it one of the vet stories that's been like at Feed Real or AHVMA?
Maybe, you know what? It was at Thrive. It was at Thrive Pet Expo.
Oh, Kelly probably was telling us.
Oh, okay. No. It was the Thriving Pet Expo person that put it on
Carrie
that
Hyde.
Came and talked to us
Carrie
at
Hyde.
AHVMA. Okay, for those of you that are listening, I apologize for the last 5 minutes. We had to figure that out real quick. But yes, essentially this story where like she...
I remember Carrie telling the story and she was just like, I'm going to try not to cry.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She told a story and it was so... And it was one of those things where it was a reminder to pay attention. I mean, sometimes when a dog is being picky, it's not because... they're being picky. It's because there's something off, and it's not like the food is bad. It's just that there's an ingredient that, hey, the last time I ate this, I didn't feel so hot, so I'm not going to eat this again.
Yeah.
And to just try and listen to that. And, you know, I've done that with my dogs. I had a situation with a supplement a few months ago with Rodrigo, where it's a natural supplement. It's not supposed to have any, interactions with anything else. It's not supposed to have any side effects, and it's supposed to have all of these amazing benefits. It's super anti-inflammatory, very natural. I was super excited to give this to my senior dog that was having, you know, mobility issues. Within a week, he was not doing so hot, but it couldn't be that supplement because it's super natural, has no side effects. So I'm looking over here when it was right here. And so I kept giving it to him until he got sicker and sicker. And finally, I just took everything out of his diet and he slowly started getting better. And I started doing research. And usually if something has a negative review, you're going to find it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So I just went and found a supplement and went and read the reviews and read tons of people who were saying, I have, you know, Crohn's disease, or I have, you know, IBS. And if you have a pre-existing digestive situation, this is not a good supplement for you because it'll make it worse. Or if you do use it, you need to start with a very low amount. And this was nowhere. But once I found that out and I shared it, more people came to me and said, oh my God, I had the same situation. And either it was nice because now they knew what went wrong, or other people were able to share with me this, okay, I did research too. This is what I found. And it turned into this circle of dog owners who are sharing articles trying to break down what's going on. And it just turns out that there's this very rare side effect for some dogs, but because it's so rare, it's just not something that you would see. Even if you Googled side effects of this thing, it's not going to really be clear that your dog could get really sick from the supplement. And so if I had paid attention, I knew something was wrong. I saw what he was going through. If I would have just, instead of just saying, well, no, it's supernatural, if I would have just said, nope, everything that's new, we're going to stop and see where he goes and then slow down, I could have saved him a couple weeks of discomfort, especially since he was gone like 2 months later, not because of that supplement, because of old age. Yeah. But those are the type of things. It's sort of like, you know, pay attention to your dogs. They're telling us stuff all day, every day.
Kimberly, thank you so much. This was absolutely wonderful. We really appreciate you coming on today. And
it's about darn time.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know, obviously, it's our podcast, but
yeah, I know.
It's been forever, so it's nice to finally be communicating more.
Yes. And for those of you that are listening, thank you so much for choosing to spend your time with us. As always, I'm Bryce.
I'm Kenzie.
And we'll see you in the next episode.